Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you, Brother McNeil. Appreciate those words. And I echo what McNeil just said. I appreciate you all being here today. 8 or 9 months ago, McNeil and I attended an outdoor service on the continent of Africa. The weather was a lot different there. It was clear, sunny, bright. I mean, it was migraine bright. No clouds in the sky, and it was hot. And we arrived at the service late because we were riding in a little jalopy that didn't have shocks, and the roads were really bad. And so we're a little achy when we got there, but I felt worse for the people that were assembled there because I found out they had been all sitting out in the heat for a couple of hours just singing hymns and waiting on us to get there. It didn't occur to me at the time that less than a year later, here in our own nation, we would be meeting outdoors.
Yeah.
But I'm glad none of you had to walk this morning.
Amen.
You know, I've really struggled this last week with all of the things going on. And to be honest with you, I may not have worried about myself as much as I should, just simply because, as I discussed with some of the brothers at one point during the week, I'm the breadwinner for our family primarily, so unless they quarantine everything, I'm going to be getting up in the morning and leaving home anyway, so what's the use of worrying? But I realize that not everybody's in that situation and not everybody feels that way. And I'm so glad you're all here, but of course there's some folks who probably didn't feel comfortable coming this morning, and I don't blame them. And I have to watch myself sometimes because I could be very judgmental and hypocritical if I were not cognizant of the needs and concerns and legitimate fears and worries of others. I'd like to read to you from Romans the 14th chapter. Verse 1, "Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant to his own master? He standeth or falleth." Excuse me, I can't see that real well. There's a question mark there. "To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks." I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but one of the main points that's, I think, being outlined here by the Apostle Paul writing to the Roman church is to help them understand that some people, for various reasons, maybe upbringing, maybe their age, maybe their medical conditions, etc., etc., you know, feel differently about things. You know, in this instance, he's primarily talking about meat that was offered to idols, most likely. And he's saying some people feel like they could eat that meat, and some people feel like they shouldn't eat that meat. And some of them have very, very, very strong convictions one way or another. And I think what Paul is saying is, have a little mercy on your brothers and sisters that may not have the same confidence that you have, or that may be more concerned about certain things, or that may be sometimes even a little more doubtful, perhaps.
Right.
Although we should never assume that that's the reason that someone doesn't shake your hand in Walmart. Don't assume it's because they're doubtful and they don't trust the Lord. You know, they may be a little more withdrawn in some sort of a pandemic like this because maybe they have an ill loved one at home and they don't want to expose them. I guess what I'm trying to say is we should have a little mercy on other people.
Right.
See, I struggled with this when I came back from Africa. Because in Africa, people were walking to church in the heat and in the dust. And after I'd been there a few days, I realized that a lot of them didn't know where their next meal was coming from.
Right.
But they were willing to get up on a Sunday morning and put on what nice clothes they had and walk sometimes miles and wait 2 hours in the sun to hear a preacher. And I got back to the U.S. of A. Just traveling around, kind of making my usual rounds of things, and I realized that a lot of Americans didn't have the same devotion. And I found myself getting a little irritated. And then I looked at my own life and my own inconsistencies. You know, and I had to kind of readjust my thinking a little bit.
Right.
And to realize that I'm not always consistent either. You know, I've told y'all before, most of you know this, I work in the healthcare field, and there's been times in the last couple of weeks where people would come and want me to look in their mouth and check their ears and everything else, but they would almost recoil a little bit when I walked up to them. And I thought, these people think I'm going to give them some kind of an infection. And it kind of made me mad. I said, what's the deal here? You know, where's this fear and this sort of loathing that some people have developed toward one another, even toward strangers out in public? And I think a lot of it does come from fear, but some of it sometimes is legitimate concern. And, you know, as we're going through this, I guess what I want to try to say today to you, and I've been kicking myself about it all week, is have a little bit of mercy on people in their weaknesses and in their fears.
Amen.
Because it's a fearful time.
Right.
You know, I looked at those folks over in Africa. They were walking to church. When sometimes I feel like I had to beg people to drive to church. You know, and as I look back, most of those people that were walking to church were fairly young people. I'm sure they had some old ones at home that couldn't walk to church. And I'm sure they had some babies that couldn't walk. And, you know, and so I was seeing the healthier version of the population there out getting to church.
Right.
And it's probably that way everywhere.
Yeah.
And especially when times we're in doubt and we worry. And like Matt Neal said, sometimes we could be tempted to forget that the Lord's in charge. And that the Lord is looking out for us and He is taking care of us. He read to you from the 91st Psalm, and I had actually had the 90th Psalm on my heart today, although I didn't know Brother Tim would be calling on me. But I'd like to remind you of this. In verse 1 of Psalm 90, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Now, you might think your dwelling place is at your home. You might think your dwelling place is spiritually speaking at your local church. Or maybe even to some extent where you work, where you spend your time. Those are certainly dwelling places. But you might be afraid to go to work right now. There's folks that are afraid to go to church, and I get that. You know, I understand that. There's people that are afraid to visit their relatives in their own homes. You know, it's almost like sometimes your dwelling places, when you have a situation like this going on, become places you're afraid to go. Remember that as children of God, our true dwelling place is in the Lord.
Amen.
And that we are strangers, and that we are pilgrims here, and we're only here for a little while. And not only is the Lord our dwelling place, but He's been our dwelling place in all generations.
Right.
Whereas before we existed, and before this planet existed, and before sin came into this world, and before the coronavirus came from wherever it came from,
right,
the Lord was our dwelling place.
Amen.
And when we leave here, the Lord is still going to be our dwelling place.
Amen.
Because He loved His children before the foundation of the world. He made provision for them in Christ, in His own Son, who would go and die for them. And someday they will be with Him, infallibly. They will be with Him someday.
Amen.
He is our dwelling place. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God.
Amen.
Now there are times, though, as we walk through this life, and as nations rise, as nations follow the Lord, as they fall into sin, there are times when bad things happen.
Yeah.
And they're not always the judgment of God. Sometimes they are, and sometimes we don't know the difference.
Yeah.
We have to trust that He's our dwelling place regardless. But verse 3 does say this, Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. In other words, sometimes people forget, children of God forget, that the Lord is their dwelling place. And you know what the Lord has to say sometimes? Come back.
Amen.
And sometimes He says come back in ways that frighten us. I mean, you know, He allows things to come our way sometimes. Now listen, please don't think that I'm saying that the coronavirus was sent by the Lord, because I'm not saying that.
Right.
Now if the Lord, you know, revealed that to us somehow, then Sure, I believe it, but I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, though, is that as we move through this life and as things afflict us, it should remind us that this world is not our home. I may not always feel safe in my own house. I may not feel safe at work, and I certainly may not feel safe when I go to Walmart and I'm worried there's somebody in there that's infected. But you know what? This is not ultimately my dwelling place. And when those things come along, it should make me look back and return to the Lord and say, hey, as a child of God, I know where my dwelling place is.
Right.
If things get so bad, I can't even get back to this blessed place,
right,
the church. I still know where my dwelling place is.
Right.
It is in my Savior.
Mm-hmm.
For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. You know, we may go through a week here, a month here, 3 months, a year. Who knows how long some of these things swirling around us and worrying us may go on. You know what? To the Lord, it is an absolute little blip of time. He's already seen through it and beyond it. He's over it. He's around it. He overrules it on behalf of His children.
Right.
And we need to look to Him.
Amen.
And not forget that.
Amen.
Thou carriest them away as with a flood. There as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth it up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet it is their strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, if I could sum all that up, I would say this. Life is really pretty short. And we serve a God who loved us before the foundation of the world. He loves us in eternity. He loves us in time. He's going to take care of us. You know, McNeil preached to you about David. You know, the Lord gave those words to hold David up and lift David up, no doubt in some very trying times. But a day did come ultimately where David laid his head down on a bed in his old age and he passed away. He fell asleep like Stephen did, and he's with the Lord today. So we know that this life will end at some point. We know that it is brief. We know that it is short. I don't know how it will end for each of us. I hope the Lord will return very soon. As we say in verse 13, return, O Lord, how long? Maybe He'll come back today.
Amen.
But in a timely way, we should return to Him.
Mm.
Verse 14, O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. You know, one reason I'm so glad that so many of you decided to try to come today and worship the Lord in spite of difficult circumstances is that I think it shows our children that we're trying to be serious about serving the Lord. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. I know these are some uncertain times, but I also know that our Lord loved us before the foundation of the world, and He loves you just as much right now as He did then, and He sees you already glorified in eternity with that vast multitude that no man could number who had redeemed by His own blood, who will be with Him. I just leave you with this. During these uncertain times, as you pray, pray that we will be merciful to other people who might not be as reckless as I have to be in my everyday life, who might be a little bit scared, who might be worried, and remind them that we serve a great God. And then we ought to be just praying for the deliverance of our country, of our nation, of the world from this virus and all the other things that afflict us. And I think it also reminds us that whether or not this virus has anything to do with the judgment of God, and it absolutely may not, I don't know. Only the Lord knows that. But when we go through times like that, it should remind us to bow our heads and return to the Lord.
Yeah.
And seek His face. And say, Lord, be merciful to us. And take care of us.
Yeah.
And remember Him. A thought that recurs to me as I read things on the internet and all that about this viral illness that's going on is that men do not have the answers.
Right.
There ain't a doctor out there that's got the answer. The people that govern our state are doing their best, I know. I know they're trying hard, and I'm sure they mean well. But they don't have the answers either.
Right.
Nobody's got the answers except the Lord.
Amen.
Only the Lord's got the answer.
Right.
So who should we be seeking?
Yeah.
Should I spend all my time, you know, trolling around through the internet and reading this one and reading that one and this rule changes this day and this rule changes this day? And I need to take care of myself and know what's safe and what's not. But should I just feed my soul on that? Or should I look up? Let's look up.
Amen.
And thank you for all being willing to come today. Please pray for me. I'll pray for you that we would ask the Lord to take care of us and that we would be merciful to those around us who may have doubts, who have fears, and that we would condescend to them and be as kind to them as we possibly can. That when this is all over, that when this has gone by, and it'll be in the Lord's eyes like a moment, I know, a day in His eyes is like a thousand years is like a day, this will come and go. But when it comes and goes, pray for our churches.
Yes.
And for the other churches out there that aren't Primitive Baptists, that when this is all over, that they would still be in fellowship,
yes,
that they would still love one another, that they wouldn't be looking and saying who came to church and who didn't. But that we would be once again reunited as a body of Christ,
yeah,
to serve and glorify Him. I love you and thank you for your time.